Emmett McAllister's Christmas Eve, An Old Tale Retold, by Catherine Slattery. Emmett McAllister sighed restlessly as he poked at the smoldering remains of what had been a raging blaze in his fireplace. He debated whether or not to toss on another log or turn out the lights and go to bed. It was Christmas Eve, and his wife Martha had gone to midnight mass. "Emmett, dear," Martha had whispered softly while wrapping a woolen muffler tightly around her neck, "won't you consider coming with me tonight? It's going to be a beautiful Christmas service, complete with carols and candles. I think you really might enjoy it." "No, Martha," Emmett had replied, shaking his head stubbornly. "No church, no carols, no candles. You know how I feel about Christmas. I think it's a lot of hogwash." For a moment, Emmett felt badly, noticing the pained look in Martha's eyes. But then he stiffened, determined not to let his emotions get the better of him. "Now you be careful," he said gruffly, offering his wife a peck on the cheek. "It looks as though we might be in for some nasty weather." Indeed, a bitter wind now whistled through the cracks of the McAllisters' old New England farmhouse. Emmett peered through the century-old panes of glass as the howling wind whipped the white falling snow into a frenzy. "Wouldn't you know," he thought, reaching for a log and thrusting it into the fireplace, "a nor'easter, no less, and just in time for Christmas." "Christmas," he muttered scornfully under his breath, as though irritated by the word itself. "Hogwash." With a harumph worthy of Ebenezer Scrooge, Emmett reached up to straighten his prized collection of hand-carved and painted decoys that lined the rough-hewn mantel above the fireplace. The firelight flickering in the glass-amber eyes of one mallard drake seemed to make the bird come alive. Gently, Emmett stroked the duck's iridescent green head, letting his fingers trace the distinctive white ring that circled its neck like a cleric's collar. While Emmett may have hated Christmas, he loved birds. Emmett's interest in birds began when, as a boy of 7, he had nursed an injured baby robin back to health by hand-feeding it wriggly grubs with tweezers and keeping it warm in one of his father's fleece-lined woolen slippers. Since then, Emmett had remained fascinated by birds, by their incredibly delicate yet high-performance anatomy, by their wondrous ability to fly, by their melodious songs, and by their mysterious instinct which enabled them to journey thousands of miles in uncanny synchronization with nature's changing rhythms. Now Emmett's large yard was studded with assorted handmade birdhouses, bird baths, bird feeders, and suet bags. "Honest to Pete," Martha was prone to comment upon Emmett's return from one of his frequent trips to the local feed store, his arms aching under the weight of 25-pound sacks of cracked corn and sunflower seeds. "Sometimes I think you like those birds more than people." "Sometimes I do," he would reply. Leaving his collection of decoys, Emmett returned to his easy chair. Piled high on the coffee table was the day's mail, for the most part a jumble of gaily colored Christmas cards. "For unto you is born this day a Savior," read one. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," read another. "Hogwash," muttered Emmett, pushing the cards aside to reach for his favorite bird magazine. But as he pulled the magazine onto his lap and saw its cover, his face fell. It couldn't be said that the cover illustration was offensive in any way. It was a fairly typical rendering of two cardinals perched on a snow-covered pine bough. But the picture's theme was obvious. Christmas. Emmett's blood pressure began to rise. He felt betrayed. Angry. Even his favorite magazine had sold out to the holiday season. Letting the magazine drop to the floor, he leaned back in his chair and closed his eyes. What is it about Christmas that bothers me so? He wondered. What is it about this time of year that makes others so happy? Christmas, for Emmett, had been all right when his children were small and living at home. He had no problem accepting Santa and Rudolph, stockings hung over the fireplace, and all the other trappings of the season. But when it came to the heart of the holiday, when it came to the issue of a baby called Jesus, born more than 2,000 years ago, that's when Emmett became impatient. What could such talk about God becoming human be, besides foolish religious prattle, he thought? And even if the story was true, why should such an event be necessary? Besides, he fumed, what had this Jesus ever done for me? The only time Emmett felt the least bit sorrowful for his inability to understand Christmas was when he was reminded, on nights like tonight, of how important this Jesus seemed to be to his wife Martha. Emmett loved Martha dearly, and it bothered him when he perceived, however dimly, the great spiritual gulf that yawned between them. Sometimes he sensed that something was missing in their relationship because he didn't share his wife's interest in knowing Jesus. But such feelings had always been too vague and too fuzzy for him to articulate. Suddenly, there was a commotion at the parlor window, a frantic fluttering of wings, piercing cries of distress. Emmett knew the sounds all too well. In a flash he was up, his face pressed against the cold glass, his eyes searching the dark night. Illuminated by the glare of the front porch floodlight, he saw what he was looking for, a small band of starlings lost in the storm. Three of the dozen or so birds had flown into the parlor window. Stunned by the impact, they now flopped about helplessly on the ground, their panicked movements digging them ever deeper into the fast drifting snow. Reaching for his windbreaker and pulling on his boots, Emmett stepped out onto the front porch. The starlings grew even more distressed. "No, no," murmured Emmett. "Please don't be scared. Don't be frightened. I'm here to help you. Please, let me help you." The starlings needed shelter, he realized, and fast. For the birds to remain unprotected in the bitter weather for much longer would surely result in their death. Shielding his face against the blowing snow with his arm, Emmett pushed himself into the gale-force wind and trudged the 30-foot distance to his garage. He opened the door. If only he could guide the starlings into the garage, he reasoned, then they would be safe. But how to do it, he wondered, as he made his way back to the troubled birds. The starlings were so frightened already. Why should they trust me? For the next 10 minutes, like an ungainly sheepdog, Emmett did his best to round up the starlings and herd them toward the garage. But his efforts were futile. There were too many birds. Like a shepherd needs a staff, Emmett needed some kind of tool that would help him in his task. He returned to the house to get a broom. But, to Emmett's dismay, this approach met with results even more disastrous than the first. The starlings, already frightened and confused, responded in sheer terror to the broom, scattering in all directions. Many fell into deep snowbanks. Heartsick and exhausted, Emmett finally realized the situation was hopeless. By morning, the starlings would all be dead. Returning to the house, he hung his jacket, wet with snow, on the row of wooden pegs by the front door. He kicked off his boots. He returned to his easy chair, and there, hanging his head in his hands, he wept. Bitterly he wept. As he hadn't wept since he was a boy, Emmett cried for his lost starlings. Some time later, when he could cry no longer, Emmett heaved a long, shuddery sigh and closed his eyes. "Dear God," he murmured, "if only I could become a starling so I could show those helpless creatures the way to safety and shelter and life. If only I could become one of them, then they would trust me. Then they would listen to me. Then, and only then, we could communicate with each other in a way never before possible. Slowly, Emmett opened his eyes. Irresistibly, his gaze was drawn to the pile of Christmas cards on the coffee table in front of him. For the second time that evening, he considered their messages. "For unto you is born this day a Savior. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And then a strange thing happened to Emmett. No longer did the sight of Christmas cards annoy him. No longer did he despise this holiday season, for now, at long last, Emmett understood. Just as Emmett loved and cared for his starlings so much that he wanted to become one of them to save them, so God loved humankind that he sent his only Son Jesus into the world to reveal himself and save all who would believe. How simple, Emmett thought. How wonderful! "Thank you, God," he whispered, trembling with excitement at his new discovery. "Thank you for loving me so much that you sent Jesus to be born to guide and protect and save me. Thank you for helping me, after all these years, to understand the true meaning of Christmas." Abruptly, Emmett jumped at the sound of his name. It was his wife, Martha, home from midnight mass. "Emmett," she cried, her voice high-pitched with excitement. "Emmett!" "What is it?" Emmett answered. Martha appeared in the parlor, her face flushed from running. Her boots left wet tracks on the hardwood floor, and she hadn't bothered to remove her coat or muffler. "Emmett McAllister," she exclaimed, "what are all those birds doing in our garage?" "Birds?" asked Emmett with a puzzled look. "You heard me," said Martha. "Birds. More than a dozen. Starlings, I think. They're all perched up in the rafters, singing up a storm. And I'm afraid some of them must have gotten into your feed bags. There's seeds spilled all over the floor. Honestly, Emmett," she shook her head, "I don't mind your birds as long as they stay outside. But when you start bringing them inside..." "Starlings, you say?" Emmett's face was incredulous. "More than a dozen?" It was too good to be true. Nothing short of God's own hand could have guided those half-frozen and confused birds through the storm and into the garage. "Yes," replied Martha, "that's what I said." She paused. "Emmett, you look strange." "Emmett, are you all right?" "All right," cried Emmett, grabbing Martha around her plump waist and spinning her in a dizzying circle. "All right. Martha, my dear, I've never been better. You may find this hard to believe, but there's been a miracle tonight. An honest-to-goodness miracle, right here in our own house." "Miracle?" asked Martha skeptically. "But, Emmett, you don't believe in miracles. You don't even believe in Christmas. What in heaven's name are you talking about?" "There's been a miracle," repeated Emmett emphatically. "A Christmas miracle." Chuckling, he took Martha by the hand and led her out the front door toward the garage. "Come on," he said. "Let's go have a look at those starlings, and I'll tell you all about it."